Good morning. We're glad you joined us on WLNT here at Blairland Baptist Church. Good to have you this Sunday morning. We're going to open our service with the hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Aren't you glad that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and will forever be His child? Again, we're glad you joined us this morning on WLNT 96.1. Well, let's turn it over to our pastor to welcome us this morning. Glad you joined in with us.
We do welcome you today to our radio service. Today I'll be preaching from the book of John, John 13, John 14, so you can get your Bible and get ready to follow along with us today. We apologize for not being on Facebook Live today, but that's just how it is, and we apologize for that. But we'll be back on next week, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You for this time of worship. I pray, Lord, that You would just help us to honor You today in our worship time. We love You, and we want to give You the glory for everything. And so one way we do that is to worship You. I pray for our worship team today. I pray, Lord, that You would bless them as they sing Your praises and as they lift up Your name. We pray for the broadcast today as it goes out. We just ask, Lord, that You would use the songs and the message today to encourage hearts. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. We're going to continue this morning with another hymn. I stand amazed in the presence. How marvelous is His love for us.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall
Savior.
face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to see of His love for me. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
For His love for us, we're going to sing this morning. It's called "The Way." Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's what this song is taken from.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that You are my fortress, You are my portion, You are my hiding place. I believe You are the way, the truth, the life. I believe You are the way, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that You are provider, You are protector, You are the one. All my fears and doubts, they can all come true.
song says, our fears and doubts can't stay long when our trust and hope is in Him. We're going to introduce a new song to you this morning. It's called Graves into Gardens. Brian Russell will be singing the solo part. And this song has some good message to it. God is the only one that can turn things into a positive, from a negative to a positive. And that's what this song is about. Graves into Gardens.
It couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. You came along and put me back together. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Nothing is better than you. and grace into gardens. You turn bones into harmony. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power that you have. God, you have shown your power throughout history, throughout your word. God, we thank you that we can turn our problems over to you. And Lord, you have complete control. And we thank you for the control that you have. We thank you for your son, Jesus, what he did for us on the cross and his love for us. I ask that you prepare hearts to worship through the message this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, for your songs today. The scripture that I'm going to be calling to your attention today is found in John 13 and John 14. I'll be reading this morning John 13, 36 through 14, 1 through 6. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." And then the very familiar passage in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I want to set the context of this passage. This is the last week of our Lord's life here on this earth. We are on Thursday now, during that last week. We are in the upper room with him and his disciples. On the next day, Friday, at 9 a.m. in the morning, Jesus would be crucified. From noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Bible tells us that darkness came upon the earth. So from 9 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon, Jesus would be on the cross. However, Sunday would come, and of course that's Resurrection Day. And that is the victory that we have through Christ. And so what you have in this passage today is really the story of the gospel. So we'll be talking about the gospel story today. And what I want to be talking about is the two phrases that we find in this chapter. "Let not your heart be troubled." It's found in verse 1 and also in verse 27 of John 14. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, we're not surprised that these disciples were troubled in heart. They had been told that Jesus was going to leave them. They had been told that there was a betrayer among them, who was Judas, of course, they were told that their leader, Peter, would deny the Lord. And so no wonder they were troubled. They were troubled because Jesus was going to go away, and it upset them. After all, these disciples had said, "We have left all to follow you." And so the one that they had followed now for 3 years of their lives, 24/7, they'd been with him, is now going to leave them. And so they're very upset about that. And so self-confident here, Peter speaks in chapter 13. And so the thing that we know, though, is that in Peter's self-confidence and in his boasting, he really didn't know his own heart. But Jesus did. And see, here's what we know also. We don't know everything about our heart, but we know this, that our heart can be troubled. And so that's why Jesus spoke these words to us. These words are to us. They were to the disciples, but he's speaking to us today to say to us, let not your heart be troubled. And so what they sought from Jesus was his comfort. And that's what Jesus is speaking to them about. He wants their hearts to be comforted during these troubled times for them. So, like I said, these words are for all of us, and we all can find comfort in these words today. You see, the greatest need of men and women really is to be at peace with God, to have peace of heart and to have peace of mind. The old preachers used to say it this way, that the greatest need of men and women is to have a quiet heart. And that's how they put it. And so what Jesus is speaking to here is the trouble that we have in our hearts. And our hearts can be troubled. So what Jesus is doing here is speaking comfort to our hearts. There are three truths that are revealed here today that I want to be talking about. The first truth that I want to talk about is how the human heart is revealed. Like I said, where we see this is in the life of Peter. We see this in John 13, 36 through 37. In 36, Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Now, what Peter's wanting to know here really is what's after death. If you're going to depart, if you're going to leave us, if you're going back to your Father, then what's beyond that? What is beyond this life? And so that's what Peter wants to know. You see, what the Bible does is it really gives us the hard facts of life. And one hard fact of life is that we're not always going to be on this earth. And so that's what Peter is doing here. He's asking the question, well, what's beyond this? And so he has this question about, where are you going? And then Jesus told him, he said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. But afterward, you shall follow me." Now, there's a lot of truth in this passage here. And what Jesus is saying to Peter is this, I'm going to go to the cross. And I'm going to die on the cross. Peter, you can't do that. You can't follow me and die on the cross to do what I'm going to do. Now, what Jesus did on the cross for us was to die for our sin. What Jesus did on the cross for us, he did for us that no one else could do. Only the sinless Son of God could die on the cross, be the sacrifice for our sin. And so that's why he told Peter here, where I'm going now, the cross, you can't do that now. You can't follow me now and do that. And so Peter made his boast. Verse 37, he said, "Lord, why can I not follow you now?" He said, "I will lay down my life for your sake." And there again, Peter, really self-confident and boastful, didn't know his own heart. But here we see his heart revealed when Jesus said in 38, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you denied me three times." And we know that that's what Peter did. He denied the Lord three times. Peter had good intentions here. He overstated his strength. I think his boast here was well intended. I think he meant what he said, but, you know, he really didn't know his heart. So at the end of story, at the end of Peter's life, though, what we see is a different Peter. And what we know from this point on in Peter's life is this, that even though he denied the Lord was not going to let him slip away. The Lord still loved him. And see, that's the encouraging thing for us. When we're self-confident and when we make our boast, and really at times when we don't know our own heart when we think we do, when we need restoration and we need to be brought back to the Lord, the thing that encourages us is to know that He loves us so much that He's not going to let us slip away. And so later in Peter's life in John 21, we see Peter restored. And Jesus asked him over and over again, three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And so at that point, Peter is restored. On the day of Pentecost, we see a different Peter. I mean, he's standing and he's preaching the resurrection of Christ. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see a Peter that had been restored, a Peter that had been brought back to the Lord. And that's what the Lord will do for us. He loves us so much that He's not going to let us slip away in our time of confusion, just like these disciples, in their time of disappointment, in their time of thinking that everything that they had given their life to had fallen away. Then here we see the love of Christ. And we see how Jesus is dealing with Peter here, and He kept dealing with Peter all through his life. So through His death on the cross, what Christ has made possible for us and what He made possible for those disciples there was that He made possible a right relationship with Him, that we can be saved, that we can have forgiveness of sin, that that relationship that we need with God can be right. And so He offers us that through the cross. And He offers His restoration and His love for us. And He brings us back. In other words, He loves us so much that He's not going to let us slip away in our disappointment, when our hearts are troubled, when we're confused, when we don't know what the next day is going to bring. Then He gives us what we need through the gospel. It is through the message of the gospel. It is through the work of Jesus Christ that we find the comfort that we need. And then the second truth that I want to talk about is how the heavenly home is revealed here. And we see this in verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, what is the Father's house? The Father's house here in this chapter is just another name for heaven. That's what it is. It is heaven. Sometimes heaven is called a city. Sometimes heaven is called a country. Sometimes heaven is called a garden. But here in John 14, Jesus called it my Father's house. Now, the first thing here, though, is this. We got to believe in God. And so He tells these disciples here, don't be troubled. What's implied here is that their hearts were troubled. They were disturbed. Jesus was going to be leaving them. And so Jesus said, stop. Stop letting your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so He begins here with this relationship with God. And so that's where it starts. Otherwise, we'll never have comfort. Otherwise, we'll never have peace until this relationship is where it needs to be. So the vital question for all of us today is this: do we have this peace with God? Do we know God's comfort? When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," then can we know His comfort? Well, we can if we have that relationship with Him. Now, what does it mean to believe in God? Well, to believe in God means that we've got to believe in God's existence. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us, that those who come to God must believe that God is. So we believe in His existence. Now, the Bible does not set out to prove the existence of God. What the Bible does in Genesis 1:1 is to state the fact of the existence of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And so that is the assumption made in Scripture. Now, as we go through the Bible, though, what we learn about God. The Bible teaches us that God is creator, so that's what we've got to believe about God, that He is. That He is creator. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that in faith we believe that God created the world, that God created us. And so what the theologians call that, though, that they call that the revelation of God. That's the general revelation of God. We see the mountains, we see the hills, we see the rivers, and we see God's creation. And so God reveals Himself that way. So that's how we know of God's existence. But there's also what the theologians call the special revelation, and that's the gospel. That's Jesus. That's what we read in the New Testament about the work of Christ. That's what we know about the cross. It's what we know about His burial. It's what we know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in that. So to have this comfort that He offers, then the starting place here is, He says, you've got to believe in God, believe in Me, believe in the Father, believe in the Son, believe in My work, believe in what I did on the cross for you. It means also that when we believe in God, that we believe in His attributes, that we believe that He is all-powerful, we believe that He's all-knowing, we believe that God is in control. That's what it means to believe in God. The scripture verse that we quote so often, Romans 8:28, and we know. How do we know? And we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God. How do we know that? Because we believe in God, and we believe in His attributes. We believe God is in control, and we believe that God knows all things, and we believe that God knows what is best. So we believe in those attributes of God. It means this, to believe in God means that we believe that God can do the impossible. In Hebrews 11 again, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham believed in the impossible. In Luke 1, when the angel appeared to the Virgin Mary, the angel said this, when Mary had her question, Lord, how can this be? How can I give birth, not knowing a man? And the angel said, nothing shall be impossible with God. That's what we believe about God. So Jesus is saying here, you believe in God, believe also in Me. And so the things we believe about God, then we believe about Jesus Christ. It means that we believe in the promises of God. All the promises of the Bible are true. So we believe in those promises. But it also means this. It means that when we believe in God, and we believe in Jesus, it means that we are ready to commit our lives to Him. It means that we're ready to commit the affairs of our life, the goals of our life, the plans of our life. We commit all that to Him because He is almighty and He is a loving God, and we believe in Him and we trust Him. It means that we believe in what the Bible said that He did while He was here on this earth. We believe in His miracles. It means that we believe the gospel and what the gospel teaches us. We believe in those things. So we believe in what He said. We believe in what He did while He was here on this earth. Now, the Bible talks about My Father's house here. Like I said, that's another name for heaven. And so the promise here is a home in heaven. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus said in verse 2, the way He put it here, in My Father's house are many mansions. Now, the idea here is that there's plenty of room in heaven. That's what it means. Some translations will translate this dwelling places. Some translate it rooms. Here it's translated mansions, but the idea is this, that there's plenty of room in heaven for those who want to go. And so the disciples understood this. They understood what Jesus was saying here. Now, he said this. He said, if it was not true, I would not have told you. And so what Jesus is saying is, if this was not true, if the promise of a home in heaven was this pie in the sky by and by, as some people believe, if it's just a fairy tale, like some people believe, then Jesus said, if that was it, then I would not be telling you this. But based on the words of Jesus, what we have here is the comfort of heaven. I have gone to prepare a place for you. So heaven is a real place prepared for real people. And then he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So here's the pledge that he makes. The promise that he makes is the promise of the second coming. This is what Jesus is getting at here. He will come again one day. He's coming back. We believe that. And that is what we look forward to. So life in this world is filled with trouble and trials. We have difficulty. And, you know, the Bible here, you know, Jesus is not saying that these things won't exist. He's not telling these disciples that just believe in me and everything's going to be fine. That's not what he's saying here. He knows the difficulty that they're going to face. He knows what's ahead for them, but he also is speaking to us too. Just because we believe in him and just because we know that there's a home in heaven, just because we know that he's coming again, doesn't mean that this life will not have difficulties. Jesus knows that. But our hope is, one day in heaven, that all these things will be made new. Our hope is that one day he is coming again, and he will make all things new. That is our hope and trust that we have in him. So to deal with the trouble, and to deal with the trouble that they were having in their hearts, what did Jesus talk about? What do we need to hear from Jesus when we have troubled hearts? We need to hear about heaven. We need to hear about the second coming. We need to hear the truth of the gospel. We need to hear his promise here that he will be with us through his Holy Spirit. We need that. And so that's how Jesus spoke to them to calm their troubled hearts. This comfort was not only for them, like I said, but it's a comfort and promise that he gives to us today. So now, see, they had already been what we would call saved. They knew salvation. And so Jesus is saying here that, you know, you need to believe in me for the comfort that I can give you. I know you're in trouble. I know your hearts are troubled. I know you're in disbelief. I know you're disappointed, but believe in me. Trust in me. What I'm telling you here is that the separation that we'll have is only temporary. And we know that because there is reunion in heaven. So that's how he's speaking to them, to comfort them. And that's how we find comfort during our time of trouble. And so, you know, what troubles us more than anything else, and what troubles most people more than anything else, is the thought of death. And so here's what we're talking about here. Jesus is going to die on the cross. He's not going to be with them in physical presence any longer. He's talking about his death. And so now, at this point, in the life of the disciples, they come to a clear understanding that Jesus is going to die. For 3 years, you know, he's been teaching them, he's been training them, For the last 6 months of his life, he has been telling them, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised again. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, but now they really come to an understanding that Jesus, the one they loved, the one they had left all to follow, would die on the cross. So you can understand their trouble. You can understand their disappointment. You can understand what's going on in their hearts and minds. So, you know, we all want to make our plans just like they had their plans. We want to make our plans, and then suddenly something happens that changes our plans. And so where do we go? We go to the gospel. We go to the truth of God's word. We go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe in God, and we believe in Jesus. We trust in God, and we trust in Jesus Christ. So that is what he's saying here. The claim of the gospel is not only can he give us a heart of peace, but the claim of the gospel is that is the only place that we can find peace. That's the only place that we can find comfort. Many people look for comfort and peace in different places, and that's not all wrong. But yet what we know is that the only true and lasting peace comes from a relationship with God. It comes through belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's where it's found. They were very disturbed. And like I said, in very few short hours, Jesus would be crucified on the cross. So the only way to have security that will outlast our life is to believe in Christ and to have his salvation. There's a third truth that's revealed here in this passage. And that is the highway home that's revealed. And these are very familiar verses, but we really need to know what they're saying. In verse 4, Jesus said, "And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." How did they know the way? Well, what had Jesus been doing with them for 3 years? Jesus had been teaching them. Jesus had been telling them about this. Jesus had been teaching the truth of the gospel to them. So, you know the way, he said. I'm going. You know the way. You know how to get to where I'm going. And so what Jesus is doing here is introducing a different topic. And I'm glad he did. Because this topic that he's going to talk about now really answers the most important questions in life. I'm glad for Thomas's question here, because what Thomas does here in asking his question gives us clarity to the greatest question in life. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" The Bible says in verse 6, Jesus said to him. Jesus is speaking to them. Now, the way this is worded here is verily, verily. What that means is Jesus is making a strong statement. This is a strong statement that Jesus is making to them. And so what he does here is tell them that he is the way, that he is the truth, and he is the life. This is the sixth I am statement found in John's gospel. There are seven of them found in John's gospel. You see, Jesus is I am. What that means is this. If you go back to Moses, and when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, he said, "I am that I am." What that means is that he's not the God of the past, he's not the God of the future, but he is God of the present. He is God. He is always in the present with us. And so he's speaking to Thomas and the disciples in this way. I am with you. The early Christians were known as people of the way. That's how they were identified. Because of their belief in Christ and because they followed Christ, then rather than calling them church members or whatever, they were called people of the way. And so six times in the book of Acts, they are referred to people of the way. Now, where does that come from? It comes from right here. Because the highway to heaven is revealed here. They were on that way. They were on the way to heaven. They were on the way home. And so they were people of the way who followed Christ and who followed his teaching. So Jesus here is saying to them in a strong way and in strong terms, he's speaking to them about the uniqueness of his sufficiency for us on the cross and that he is the only way to heaven. Jesus answered three of the greatest questions here of the human heart. The first question is, how can I be saved? Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. The way speaks of our connection with God. What Jesus did on the cross for us, what the gospel tells us, and what we believe about the gospel is that Jesus made that way possible that we could go to where God is. That Jesus made that way possible, that we have a right relationship with God. So he answered the question of how can I be saved? How can I have the assurance of heaven? Well, it's the way, to follow the way of Jesus, the way of the gospel, the way of the cross. And then the second question is, how can we be sure? Well, Jesus says it this way. He says, I am the truth. So he's not only the way. The only way is what he's saying. There's not many ways, but the only way. And Jesus said, this is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. There's no other truth. There's no other way. You can be assured of this. You can have assurance of this. This is my promise to you. And so it reminds us of the complete reliability of Christ, of his words, the truth of the gospel that we believe. We can believe the Bible. We can believe the gospel that's presented in the Bible because it is truth. And then the third question here that he answers is, how can I be satisfied? Jesus said, I am the life. What this stresses here is that life is more than just physical existence. We have a physical existence here, but we also have a soul. And our soul is eternal. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon put it this way. He said, what God has done when he created us is to put eternity in the heart of every person. And that eternity that God has put in our heart is our soul. The soul is eternal. One day these bodies will die. But to be absent from this body, the Bible tells us, is to be present with the Lord. So that is eternal life. And so it is a full life now. It's a satisfied life now. Satisfaction in Christ, in knowing him. A full life now, but also eternal life forever and ever and ever and ever with our Lord. So that answers the question, how can I be saved? How can I be sure? How can I be satisfied? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now very quickly, what does all this mean? Well, just like Peter and just like Thomas and just like these disciples, what it means is we can tell God how we feel. When our hearts are troubled and we are disappointed and we are discouraged and we think, what in the world is going on? Then we can tell God. If you're frustrated, you can tell him your frustrations. You can tell him your hurts. And that's exactly what's going on here in John 13, 14. They are being very honest with Jesus. It also means this, that we can turn our focus to God's love. We see that in the life of Peter here. We see this in the life of Thomas here. I mean, Jesus didn't jump on these guys when they had these questions. He answered their questions. He understood their hurt. He understood their disappointments. Then what we can do is get alone and wait on God. We believe in His timing. Let Him speak to us. Let Him speak to our hearts. It also means this, that, you know, I can change what I can change, and that's myself. I can't change the past, but I can change myself. I can ask God to help me when I have my fears. There's legitimate things to be troubled with in today's world, and particularly with what we're going through today. I mean, you think about all the stuff with COVID and all the things that we face, the way life is different, all the fear that's in the world today, and this is worldwide. But the Bible tells us what we can do is tell our fears to God. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 27, 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So in closing, what does all this mean? This means we got to give our life to Jesus. It means that if I go to heaven, that I've got to come to that place in my life where I realize that I'm lost, and that I need a Savior, that I need my relationship with God the way it needs to be. And so Jesus gives us the answer to it. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And that is the gospel, and that is the comfort we have. Even though we're in troubled times, even though we're in difficult times, and no matter what we face in life, we always come back to the gospel, because that is our foundation. And it's the foundation of our faith, it's the foundation of our belief, to believe the good news of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do you have that peace? Do you know that peace? If not, put your faith and trust in Jesus. Thank you for being with us today on radio. I hope you will join us again next week. Hopefully we'll be back with Facebook and then also our radio broadcast. So thank you.